Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From MLB.com, one of the producers of the documentary Heading Home, The Tale of Team Israel. The documentary came out at the end of last year, and it is going to be shown at the Cedar Lee Theater coming up this week. We're all excited about it. I remember, you know, the 2017 Team Israel made a run in the World Baseball Classic. Most of the players were American Jews, and Team Israel was a 200-1 shot. They ended up finishing sixth, beating some of the best teams in the country. And again, joining us to talk about it now is Jonathan Mayo. Jonathan, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Jonathan, tell me why you guys decided to make this documentary.
Well, you know, I had some free time on my hands, I'm a Jewish guy myself, and I've always kind of been obsessed with Jews in sports. I think, like all of us, we look for people in sports or entertainment or whatever who are like us, you know, their similarities. And so it's always been an interest of mine. And in the time that I've been a baseball writer, I would have random conversations with Jewish players and came up with this crazy idea of, like, what would it be like if we brought, you know, like a bunch of Jewish players to Israel and let them explore, because they all would embrace being, yes, I'm happy to be known as a Jewish baseball player, but they didn't go much beyond that in terms of their Jewish identity. And so I had this crazy idea, and I have friends who are documentary filmmakers who were also crazy enough to think it was a good idea. And the timing worked out that the group we took to Israel was the core players that were on Team Israel. So we had to go follow them, you know, to Asia, and, you know, not knowing that they were going to kind of be the Cinderella story of that World Baseball Classic. And, you know, we took it from there.
You know, I, like you, Jonathan, am a Jewish American as well. And so I, you know, do take pride in also when I see, because there's not a lot of us and certainly not a lot of Jews playing sports at the professional level. So you get excited. And what's interesting about this team was that, you know, there's not some of the top Jewish players, and there's not that many, didn't play, obviously, right? Alex Bregman was just starting his career. Ryan Braun, you know, plenty of reasons why he didn't play, I'm sure. Ian Kinsler, you know, but, and yet, so it was a lot of guys who were, you know, kind of 4A players, or guys who, a guy like Ike Davis, who for a moment looked like he was going to be a really good player and kind of went the other way. So it's so interesting, the success they had that year.
Yeah, you know, it was sort of an interesting, because they were looked at in two different ways. You know, here in the States, they were, you know, sort of has-beens or wannabe type players.
Yeah.
And some of them had, you know, good career. Sam Fold, but, you know, he didn't play another inning of baseball after this. And yeah, so there was that sort of, they're hanging on. And then the flip side of it, internationally, people looked at them as like the second team for USA, or the JV team. Which also wasn't true. The truth was somewhere in the middle. You had a lot of guys with big league experience, and that means that, you know, that you have to be pretty good. Even if you're hanging on, if you made it, you're pretty good. So in a smaller tournament, you have a chance. And, you know, yes, they certainly exceeded expectations, but I also think that they were better than a lot of people thought they were going to be heading into it.
But being able to beat Cuba and win some of those games that they did,
yeah,
is still, yeah, maybe they were more talented, but to beat, as I mentioned, Cuba, South Korea, beat some of those teams, that was shocking, I remember at the time.
Yeah, well, it started that first game, right? They had to play South Korea in Seoul, right?
Yeah.
So I think everyone thought, and to be honest with you, we kind of thought that the climactic moment of the film might be the first pitch. Look, they made it. And then it didn't matter, and then they started winning. And that first game was a nail biter. It was a one-run game. They barely, you know, they just held on, and you know, then they beat up on Chinese Taipei. We didn't know a whole lot about it. And then they beat the Netherlands in a game that really was inconsequential because both teams had qualified. And I think it wasn't until they got to the second round in Tokyo and they beat Cuba the first game where I suddenly thought, wait, could they actually make it to Los Angeles for the semifinal? Right. And then the pixie dust wore off. But it obviously was a surprise and very exciting to see happen. But, you know, internally, I think because so many of them had a good amount of either big league time or, you know, upper level of the minor league time, that they knew that they were going to be more competitive than a lot of people expected them to be.
We're talking with Jonathan Mayo, MLB.com, one of the producers of Heading Home, The Tale of Team Israel. Jonathan, obviously, you know, we've talked about from our angle, you and I as Jews, why we understand why Jewish people would want to go see this. But it's not just going to be Jewish people that are going to go see this, obviously. And when it's going to be at the Cedar Lea Theater, tell us a little more, like, you know, why people would want to go see the documentary.
I think there are like two different themes that have spoken to non-Jewish filmgoers. One is that it's an underdog story,
yeah.
And everyone loves an underdog sports story. Like every movie has been an underdog sports story, and I think that will excite people and the way that's portrayed. But I think to sort of drill down a little bit deeper is the sort of exploring your identity and whatever your identity is. I don't think you have to be Jewish to identify with these players exploring their own identities and maybe what it means to be a little bit different or maybe to be considered, you know, the other in any given community. I think that could speak to anyone because by and large, these guys, when they walk into a clubhouse, they're the only guys like them, the only Jewish player on any team that they played in, you know, throughout their careers. And so for them to then suddenly be on this team where they all had that same shared experience. And then the time in Israel when they're really sort of exploring what it means to them and sort of understanding their roots and their family backgrounds and things like that a little bit more. I don't think you have to be Jewish in today's world to fully appreciate what that means to embrace who you are.
We're talking with Jonathan Mayo, MLB.com. By the way, the documentary Heading Home, The Tale of Team Israel, you can see it at Cedar Lea Theater starting this Friday, the first showing at 2:30, the second showing at 7:15. And after the 7:15 showing, our own Les Levine, Cleveland broadcast legend, who's on our station as well, will be doing a Q&A along with Nate Fryman and Am I missing somebody else? Is there a third person?
No, I think it'll just be the two of them for that 7:15 showing.
Sounds good. And it'll be there for expected a week, and we'll see how it goes. Dustin, let's get into some other things here with Jonathan on minor league baseball.
I know you do a lot of minor league baseball. I wanted to ask you about Bobby Bradley and why is he not up in the big leagues with the Indians?
I think the easy answer is the strikeout rate. Yes. This is actually probably the best year he's had with the bat in terms of making contact, but he still has 88 strikeouts and 247 at-bats. That's a lot. I think that his time is going to come very, very soon, but there has been a lot of swing and miss for him throughout his minor league career. He struggled to make enough contact to get to that power. He is doing a much better job this year of doing that, and I don't mind the guy who strikes out a lot. I don't think it's still just an out. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I think there was some concern that his ability to recognize pitches and to work counts and things of that nature, that he could get exposed when he gets to the big leagues. I think he is starting to knock on the door more and more loudly with what he's been able to do this year in AAA. And it's funny, it feels to me like he's been around forever, and then you realize that he just turned 23. And so there's plenty of time. I think what they would like to do is make sure that when he does get the call up, he's ready to actually let that power play for him. As long as Indians fan know, he may come up and hit 230, but he may hit, he may be, a Joey Gallo type when he first gets up.
Right.
And that may be all he is. And if you can live with that, then they should bring him up. But I think what they're trying to do is continue to let him get a good foundation of success and making more contact. He's always drawn walks to help offset the strikeouts, but I think that's probably the one thing holding him back. That and the fact that he's limited to first base and he's an acceptable but fringy defender.
Are you surprised by the success Oscar Mercado's had so far?
You know, not really. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years, you know, back from, you know, when he was drafted and some of the things that he went through in the minor leagues. And I think what's interesting with him is that the adversity that he faced early has certainly helped him. I didn't know that he would impact the baseball quite as much as he did. I thought he'd hold his own. I thought, you know, he'd make enough contact. He runs well. He'd steal a couple bases, and he'd play good defense. The fact that he's doing as well as he is in the sort of extra base department is a little bit surprising. But he has got a tremendous head on his shoulders. And I think, like I said, the fact that he was about a hair away from quitting baseball a few years ago in the minors when he was really struggling. And then the Cardinals moved him out to center field to try to alleviate some of the pressure, and something just started to click. And that's when it started to happen. Another guy who he probably still needs to continue to work on his approach at the plate. You know, I think it would behoove him to draw some more walks just because eventually that's going to catch up to you, especially because he's ever going to be a pure power guy. But if he can make contact with what he can do defensively in center field and with his legs, he's going to be a very valuable player for a long time.
We're talking with Jonathan Mayo, MLB.com. Jonathan, what is the state of the Indians system right now? You know, we know Tristan McKenzie, still one of the better prospects. Nolan Jones is a young third baseman. But overall, where are they? How many impact players do they have in their system, do you think?
It's like a really kind of sneaky good system. It doesn't get the ink or the attention that the Braves, you know, have, or even the White Sox, Tampa, or now the San Diego Padres. They're not maybe quite as deep, but there's some depth there. I think there's some guys who are further away. I love Nolan Jones. I think he's going to be a real impact player. I've always liked Tristan McKenzie. They just need to get him healthy. But even just the combination of Nolan Jones and Tyler Freeman, I think are exciting. But, you know, these are guys who are, you know, still in A-ball. So you have to wait a little while. Bo Naylor, I think, is going to hit. We've talked about Bradley already. Ethan Hankins has a ton of upside. One of the things I like that the Indians have done recently has been a little more aggressive in drafts going after high-end talent. They had a stretch where they were, for me, a little too conservative in their drafting, and including with what they did this year. I think they've done a very nice job of adding high-end guys. It does mean that it may take a little while longer for those guys to get up to the big leagues. They don't have a lot at the upper levels, but what's starting to amass at the lower levels is really, really exciting. And if you can't expect everyone to click, but if enough guys click, they're going to have one of the best farm systems in baseball over the next few years.
Jonathan, how do you think they did in the draft last week?
I like their draft. I mean, you know, Espino is really, really exciting. I think a lot of people didn't think he was going to be around at 24. They took some other high school guys that I like to see. Joe Naranjo, who they got in the third round, is kind of a personal favorite of mine. I split up the country with Jim Cowles when we do draft coverage, and I have California. And I like high school guys who can really hit. And he is a high school guy who can really hit. Now, he's probably, he's a first baseman only, so that limits him a little bit. But I do like that they did go aggressively after some of those guys. And I think even day three, they went after some high-end talent that if they have money left over, they'll be able to go and get. So I think that they sort of played it really well and got some really interesting talent, especially given the fact that they didn't have extra picks this year. So that limits how creative and how flexible you can be, and I think they did well considering.
Hey, I want to ask you about the Yankees because the Indians, there's some talks out there. Maybe they could trade Trevor Bauer to the Big Apple. And if that happens, Clint Frazier's the guy whose name gets brought up. I want your thoughts on Frazier, and then also maybe some prospects who could be in a package deal for a Trevor Bauer.
Right. So, I mean, keep in mind that for me, like once guys graduate to being big leaguers, I lose track of them a little bit. So I don't know the nitty gritty on Clint Frazier. I know he can hit. I think he proved that this year. I don't know what happened to him defensively. Not that he was ever considered to be a gold glover, but the times I've seen him, he has been completely lost. But that bat is certainly worth picking up. And I think that he's the kind of guy that if he gets kind of sprung or freed from being banished for no real reason in New York, I think he's going to put up some very good numbers. And the other thing the Yankees have, there are a lot of really exciting arms. Now, I don't know what they're going to be. Albert Abreu is really interesting. Davey Garcia has been absolutely ridiculous, you know, and has crazy good stuff, but he's also 5'9". So, you know, and weighs about $165 soaking wet. So, you know, is he a starter long-term? I don't know, maybe, but he may be a reliever. But they've got, like, a lot of guys like that. He's in Double-A now. They've got guys like that there and below with some really, really interesting arms, so that if the Indians wanted to amass some pitching depth, that would be a team that they could do business with.
We're talking with Jonathan Mayo, MLB.com. Jonathan, our program director, Andy Ruth, you and he went to Penn together. Is that correct?
Yes, sadly, it's true.
Okay. And, of course, our own Andy Ruth was a very accomplished play-by-play man in college. Here we go.
He has 11 points.
Were you sharing that moment when Andy Ruth called that 11 points? Were you sharing that moment with him?
Well, I would need to hear a little more to know, but the voice cracking sounds familiar. I thought that was actually his bar mitzvah speech. But Andy and I did a couple of games together. We did a Penn-Princeton game. That was a huge rivalry together.
Right.
And I have to tell you that my back is still not recovered from carrying him through all those broadcasts.
That's not surprising. Again, the documentary is Heading Home, The Tale of Team Israel. It's going to be at Cedar Lea Theater starting Friday. The first show at 2:30, the second show on Friday at 7:15. Former MLB player Nate Freiman and Les Levine of The Fan, Cleveland broadcasting legend, will do a Q&A after the second show. Jonathan, we appreciate the time. Congratulations on the documentary, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.